Good morning, Veritas. We're glad that you're here this morning, and I believe that we have a special morning this morning as we hear Drew come up and share what's going on in his life. And there's a lot of things that converge on this morning that make this a special morning. First of all, this summer I was spending some time in the book of Deuteronomy, and you guys, if you're not familiar with the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy is one of the most important books in the Old Testament. Jesus quoted from it all the time, and it's in a situation where God's people, it's right before they take the promised land, and they had just been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And the reason they were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years is because 40 years before that, some spies went into this land that God had promised them, and they came back, and 10 of them said, "We can't do it. The enemy is too big." And two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, "Yes, I believe we can do it." And because they doubted, and the people turned against Moses, and they basically said, "We can't do it." So they wandered for 40 years. And it says in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." And I was thinking about where our church is at in a critical season as we look forward to being in our own building. And we have exciting news to continue to share with you in weeks to come as plans get formed and all that happens. But as I thought about this fall, saying, you know, we want to continue to press forward and talk about our pledges and talk about money and talk about continuing to provide for what God has for us. And then I just thought, you know, what we really need as a church is not just money to get our building. What we need is we just need to trust God, and we need to remember why we are here. And why we are here is not to build this amazing empire for ourselves. We are not here for our own kingdom. We are here because Jesus has given us a mission and a task. And that task is to share the good news about Jesus Christ with the world, the message of life and hope. And 40 days is symbolic. That number 40 is significant in the Bible because you'll remember Jesus, before he started his earthly ministry, he spent 40 days praying and fasting. And we saw the Lord tested him during that time. Remember how his time ended? He was tested by Satan. And we see what was in Jesus' heart, right? He lived not on bread alone, but on every word that came from the mouth of God. And I thought, what would it be like for us as a church if we could just take 40 days before the Lord and just say, "Jesus, what we want is you and you alone. Show us, Lord. Reveal yourself to us." And so that's what came out of that time, was this 40-day prayer journal to ask the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers to go out and to be sent out. And last week, as we started praying, something very significant happened in Drew's heart, in my heart, in the hearts of our elders, and even our network of churches. And you're going to hear about that this morning. But think about this. As we focus on why we are here, we're excited about a building that's coming. You'll hear more about that. But over these next 40 days, I think we're down to 32 days. Pick up one of these prayer journals. Pray every day at 10:02 a.m. or p.m. and just open this journal and pray with us to remember our mission. But these words, Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea and to the very ends of the earth. And that is our mission, you guys. God has put us here to be witnesses. 7 years ago, I read this quote as I was thinking about what God had for me. I came across this quote by Tim Keller. And you throw that up on the screen. It says this: the vigorous, continual planting of new churches is the single most crucial strategy for, one, the numerical growth of the body of Christ in any city, and two, the continual corporate renewal and revival of existing churches in any city. Nothing else. Not crusades, outreach programs, parachurch ministries, growing megachurches, congregational consulting, or renewal process will have the consistent impact of dynamic, extensive church planting. This is an eyebrow-raising statement, but to those who have done any study at all, it is not even controversial. 7 years ago, I read this quote, and I was asked, would I consider going to Iowa City? And I began looking at the New Testament from a fresh lens. Jesus gave us this great commission to go in all the world. And guess what? It wasn't, Christianity was not just a random evangelization movement. It wasn't just work the coffee shops, share one-on-one. It was that, but it was church planting. The New Testament makes no sense outside of church planting, right? The pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy. Plant churches. Appoint elders. Titus is a whole book to this young pastor who's going around and solidifying and building the churches in those areas. And I was asked 7 years ago, would I consider going to Iowa City? Guys, there are people that get to go to heaven because a group of people said yes to go with me. I was just talking to a guy, Justin, up in Veritas Kids, and he said, just a college student, last year, I gave my life to Jesus. And I was like, how did that happen? He goes, Nick Parker shared with me. Guys, Nick Parker left here to plant a Salt Company Anthem Church in Columbia this fall. You guys, the gospel is bearing fruit over this whole world. And people are being a part of it, and that's why we're here. And that's why we're praying and getting before the Lord, saying, God, what would you have me do? And as we began praying last Sunday and just even right before that, God was doing some stuff in Drew's heart. Drew, I want you to come on up, and I just want to pray over you as we hear what God is stirring in your heart. This is a critical time in the life of our church, and I believe that God is testing our hearts to see what's in us. And I'm telling you, as the lead pastor of this church, we are not here to build a name for ourselves. It is not about Veritas Church. It is not about the Salt Company, which they have cool t-shirts out there, fundraiser. You can get one on your way. It's not about us. Let our names fade away, and let the name of Jesus be exalted throughout all generations. And we are committed as a church to live and to be on mission for his glory and his kingdom. Let me pray for Drew as he shares. Jesus, you will never be a wallflower on a wall that we look at and pass by every day. You are not a mile marker on the side of the road. You stand in front of us. And you become for us a fork in the road. Apathy and complacency have no place with you. We are either for you or we are against you. Jesus, this morning, I choose to let you have my life. And I pray that we will be a church that is surrendered to your agenda and your will above all else. Your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I know in heaven the angels do what you tell them to do. Find us this morning, your servants, and saying, Jesus, here we are. Send us. We have seen your glory. We have beheld your power and your glory. We have seen what Jesus can do to make dead people alive, and we want to be ambassadors of this good news to the ends of the earth. Anoint your servant Drew this morning as he shares, as his heart is burning with the message about Jesus. Just pour fuel on our fire, Lord, this morning to help us to go into all the world to tell him about Jesus. We love you. Amen.
Bet you guys are going to wondering what I'm going to say, aren't you? Well, it was a little over 4 years ago that I rolled into town to become a part of Veritas Church. And I always thought that I would come to Veritas and be here for some time, and then at some point I would get sent out from here to plant a church somewhere else. But actually, over the course of the last 4 years, God began even to change my heart in that. And I felt like after going from zero to four kids and leading Salt Company and being the teaching pastor here, I felt like God was actually calling me to stay for a while. But looking back on that now, I think if I'm honest with myself, I could never drop this desire to plant a church. And I was talking to Mark at the end of the year, at the end of the school year, and doing my job evaluation, and I told him I was super excited about now exclusively being focused on being the teaching pastor of Veritas. And that job evaluation didn't end the way that I thought it would. He kind of said, we'll see how this goes, dot, dot, dot. And if you know anything about Mark, you know that he's an optimist. So I'm just like, what's up with that dot, dot, dot type stuff? Like, come on, man. Like, be excited about my role. Like, I really thought I'm in the role that I'm going to be in for the rest of my life. And I went home and talked to my wife, and I kind of told her about that conversation. And we were actually considering moving within Iowa City into a different house. And my wife's like, yeah, I don't think we should do that. God's doing something in you, and I think we're gonna leave before you know it. And so the two people who know me the best in my life were telling me that God was doing something in me. And it took me a little while to catch up. But it all kind of came to a head a little over a week and a half ago. We went to this church planting gathering in Des Moines, all our network churches. And my dad had said right before I went to this gathering, he said, hey, Drew, that church that you're going to where Cottage Grove Church, the new Des Moines church plant, is meeting, he said, I prayed in that church when I was in high school. I'm kind of like, really? Wow, that's pretty significant. So immediately my spiritual radar is kind of going up as I go into this church. And there were basically three obstacles to me leaving to plant a church at that point when I walked in there in my heart. One was I didn't know if I planted a church where I would go. And honestly, just my loyalty to Veritas Church, my love for Veritas Church. And thirdly, you're just not supposed to move a family with five kids when all your kids are seven and under. Right? That's just generally not a good idea. And so went into that meeting, talked to Troy, who's kind of the leader of our church planting network, and he immediately told me that there were plans in the work to plant a church in Madison, Wisconsin, and they had found a church planter to do that. And there were basically two places in my heart that if I was going to plant a church, as I kind of played the what-if game, like if God took all those obstacles out of the way, it would either be Madison, Wisconsin, or Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so I immediately started just having this burning passion for Minneapolis. We started worshiping, and it was a super emotional experience for me. And then Troy, at the end of this meeting, he split us up into our job descriptions, in our churches. And I realized as he was splitting us up in our job descriptions that I was the only teaching pastor in our entire network. In other words, all of the other network churches, they have a lead pastor like Mark, and they have a salt company director like David. And I just felt like in that moment, God was releasing me from Veritas. Not that I was in prison, but that that he was just putting this greater burden on my heart for Minneapolis. So I left that meeting just with this burning desire, but still felt like my loyalty to Veritas and just my relationship with my family just were standing in the way a little bit. So I came back, and immediately I went to my wife, and I was just like, hey, what do you think about this? And within a 10-minute conversation, my wife's awesome. She was like, not only willing to go, but eager to go with me to Minneapolis. So woke up on Thursday morning, went to elder meeting, and this was Mark's rant at the beginning of our elder meeting. Okay, guys, here's my reflection after going to Cottage Grove and this church planning network meeting. He goes, I get really excited about church planning, but we're in the middle of a building campaign. We have a lot going on in our church. And so what I know is we can't send staff out right now. And I'm like, okay, God's doing something very different in you than he's doing in me. Maybe God's speaking to me through this, right? And normally Mark and I get breakfast together after our elder meeting. So he left the elder meeting quickly, was going to meet somebody for breakfast. And I was like, okay, I want to talk to him in person about this. This is kind of a big deal. And I looked down at my phone, and it's Mark calling me. And the first question out of his mouth was, hey, Drew, by the way, what's God doing in your heart after Cottage Grove? And I'm like, okay, Mark, don't wreck your car. I think that God is calling me to plant a church in Minneapolis less than a year from now. And keep in mind, just 30 minutes before, Mark had kind of gone on that rant. And the first words out of Mark's mouth were, you have to do this. And so I thought, okay, now next I need to talk to all of our elders. We need to make sure that all of our elders are on the same page and that this really is of God. You know, God's doing this thing in me, Mark's saying, yes, do this, but we need to talk to all of our elders. And so gathered all of our elders together last Sunday afternoon, just a little over a week ago, and a week ago exactly. And our elders are super godly men, and we're all sitting around, and I shared the story with them, kind of an extended version of it. And they just summarized their heart by saying, who are we to stand in the way of what God is doing? Then the story gets a little crazy. I woke up the next morning, and I met with Brandon Pratt and a bunch of guys for just our accountability time in the morning. And for some reason, Brandon showed up. A couple of the other guys weren't there. One of the guys showed up late. And Brandon and I were talking, and he goes, Drew, I had the craziest dream that my alarm clock woke me up from, and I don't know what it means. And keep in mind, we're making small talk, right? And he just goes, my uncle, who's a Christian radio host, was yelling at me, invest in Kevin Garnett. Invest in Kevin Garnett. Invest in Kevin Garnett. And for those of you who don't know, Kevin Garnett's like the most famous athlete in Minneapolis. So I'm like, dude, you know, my face turned white. Later on in the conversation, when I told Brandon that I was planning a church in Minneapolis, his face turned white. It was just this God moment, right? So then went to our staff team and announced it to our entire staff team with Veritas. And ended that meeting just holding hands and singing together and praying together and just feeling like there's this spirit of unity. And even though this is a huge step of faith for Mark, for myself, for our elders, for our staff, and for our church, we feel like this is the direction that God is leading us. So I'm planning on leaving in May and planting a church in Minneapolis starting next August. So here's what I'm asking from all of you as I'm in this process. I'm asking if all of you, each of you, would step out in faith with us Now think about the timing of this, right? Last week I stood on the stage having not talked to the elders yet, and we handed out this booklet where we're praying that God would raise up laborers. You just didn't know you were praying for God to raise up a replacement for me, right? And then this week, we're continuing our series through the mission of Veritas Church, and we've talked about celebrate, connect, and we hit this big announcement and this big ask on Contribute Sunday. Now, if you guys know Mark and I well at all, you know that neither of us is that organized. This is something that God is doing. And so what I'd like to do, as I just ask if you would step out in faith with me, is to look in depth at Luke 10, verses 2 through 4. So this is Jesus speaking. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." So this passage was originally spoken to these 72 people who had been following Jesus. He's saying, "You've been following me, but I'm asking you to take another huge, radical step." And he basically tells them three things in this passage. He tells them to look up, move forward, and to be radical. So again, he said, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few." I imagine that they're standing in front of a big harvest field as he said this. Let me show up this picture of a harvest field. Now, I was looking for a field in Jerusalem, but I couldn't find a really great picture, so I think this is like in Kansas or something, but it does the trick. So you look out into this field, and on one level, you're like, wow, this is beautiful, this is amazing. But on another level, in an agrarian society, you're looking out at this, you don't have any modern technology, you're saying, there's 72 of us, we got to do this all by hand. This is a lot of work. How are we going to pull this off? The harvest is too big. And Jesus is saying the world of lost and broken people is our harvest. And we can get overwhelmed by the people in our neighborhood, the people in our city, to even start thinking about the people in our country or the people in our world. It seems like an absolutely impossible task. We look out at the harvest and we say, there aren't enough workers. There's too much work to be done. How can we not just give up now? And the answer that Jesus gives is for us to look up. He says that instead of having our eyes on the mission primarily, we need to have our eyes primarily on who God is. We need to go to him, and we simply need to ask him to do what we can never do. We need to lay this mission that he's called us to, this impossible task, into his very capable hands, and not strap it on like it's a burden that we have to carry ourselves. So if there's some fear in you right now, even as I ask you this question, would you step out in faith with me, and you're wondering, what's Drew going to ask me to do? Would you just look up? Don't look at your life circumstances. Don't be overwhelmed by the need, look up. Melissa and I were on a walk the other night, and we started talking about this whole move to Minneapolis thing. And immediately we're talking about, okay, where are our kids going to go to school? Where are we going to live? Are we going to get a church building? How are we going to pull this thing off? Who's going to come with us? Who's not going to come? And we're just talking about all of our circumstances. And I started getting totally overwhelmed. I think Melissa did too. And we're walking in the circle. And I kind of look out over the horizon. I just see the stars in the sky. And so I literally just had Melissa stop there, and we just looked up at the stars. And I just said, we just need to pray. And for the next 15 or 20 minutes or so, instead of talking about all the problems that we have and all the difficulties that are in front of us, we took everything to God in prayer. Just laid it before Him. And you know what? That's not the last time I'm going to have to do that. I'm really, like, part of me is just, I'm filled with faith. I'm excited, but I am very human. So there's part of me that's just like, what did I just announce? What am I doing? This is crazy. This is scary. Like, I'm taking this huge step of faith. And so over and over again, I'm anticipating over the next month, over the next year, 5 years, as I walk in faith, as we walk in faith, we'll have to continually, over and over again, give it to God. We're going to have to ask the Lord of the harvest to send us out, to send workers out, to do His work in His harvest field, and we're going to have to lean on Him and trust in Him. So as we step out in faith, our dependence on God is going to have to increase. Okay, so now we're looking up. We're looking at God. We're not looking at our circumstances. Now we have to step out. We have to move forward. Now there's this super kind of disconcerting statement that Jesus gives. He's the master of those. He says, go. We like the word go. But then He says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Okay, this is not hard to understand. Lambs are little cute, cuddly, defenseless, dumb, furry, woolly creatures, right? Kind of goofy. They're kind of stumbling around really slow. Wolves are fast and ferocious, and they have big teeth. And so immediately when you think, I'm sending you out like a lamb amongst the wolves, you're thinking, I'm about to get choke slammed by a wolf. Right? Okay, thanks a lot, Jesus. This is not comforting. Like, this is going to be hard. But if we zoom out and we look at the rest of Scripture, in kind of a strange way, it is comforting. Here's why. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You see, Jesus, when He says move forward, when He says go, He doesn't diminish the fact that it's going to be difficult. But what He does is He promises that He will be with us, that He will protect us. And the Good Shepherd has proven this once and for all, because the Good Shepherd has laid down His life for His lambs. On the cross, Jesus took the penalty that your sin deserves. And that means that you know that no matter what happens in your life from this day forward, it is not a punishment from God, but it is actually meant to draw you into dependence and closer relationship on God. So when He says, go, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves, He's calling us to greater dependence on Him. He's calling us to walk closely with Him, to know Him. He's calling us to follow Him. He's calling us on this great adventure with Him. Now, can you imagine being a lamb stuck in a sheep pen? I looked up a few pictures of this. I don't have one, but, you know, in that day, sheep pens were made out of rocks. So they just made this big circle, and then they just shove all of the sheep in there. And so there's manure in there. It's real stinky, and everybody's running into each other. And, you know, the church can easily become like that, right? We just kind of all get shoved together, and no one does anything, and no one goes anywhere, and it becomes this dead institution where everyone's just walking in their own poop. You know? You're running into each other. Everybody's kind of mad at each other. And here's what Jesus is saying. I'm opening up the door to the sheep pen. And I'm telling you, there's wolves out there, but I'm the good shepherd. And I want you to follow me. And it's going to be dangerous. It's going to be scary. It's going to take all that you have. But I'm going to lead you into green pastures. I'm going to lead you beside still waters. I'm going to renew your life. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to be afraid of evil, because I am with you. It's better to be with Jesus where it's dangerous than it is to be in a sheep pen where it's comfortable. And he's calling us as a church to move out in faith, to move forward into an unknown future where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus will walk with us every single step of the way. Now, because of this reality, because Jesus is going to be with us, because he's blazed the trail for us, because he's going to take care of Veritas Church, and he's going to take care of me and the team that I take with me and the people who go with me, because of that, we have the freedom to be radical. Be radical. Verse 10:4, he says, "Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." Now, if you were going to step out, if you were going to go on a journey in that day, the first three things you would want to take would be a purse, a bag, and sandals. And you definitely want to talk to people on the road, because they could probably help you on your journey. This is like saying in our day, okay, I want you to go on a long road trip, but don't take your phone, your wallet, or your keys. And don't stop at any gas stations. How am I going to pull this off? Now, Jesus is speaking in hyperbole here, right? These 72 people who are standing here, they probably all have sandals on already. He's not saying take off your sandals and chuck them to the side and walk on rocks and make your feet hurt. He's saying this message of the gospel is so urgent. It's so important. This lost and dying world needs Jesus so bad that you need to detach yourself from the things that you think are most essential in your life. See, it took a process for God to get me where I'm at, because I'm holding on to my safety, my security, and my comfort. I'm holding on to predictable routines and a more just what I thought was sure future. It took God some time, but he's still continues to pry my hands off my life, to detach me from this world and the things in it, and to continue to teach me that I'm just a stranger traveling in an unknown country on my way home. That home will only be found when we get to heaven. So as I was thinking about what I'm asking our church to do, I thought of a family vacation that we went on, and when I was a kid, probably in like seventh grade, and we took our boat into this like rock quarry, and there were all different heights of rocks that you could jump off of into the water. I think we all got poison ivy and, you know, ear infections afterwards, but anyway. We crawl in there, and then you climb up the top of the cliffs, and so it kind of started off on a 15-foot one, then I'm at 20, 25, 30, and the top's probably 40 or 50 feet. And I remember after getting up the courage, I'm kind of standing up at the top of this rock, and I feel like, man, this is going to be awesome. Like, I've loved all the different heights that I've jumped off of. This is going to be great. But I was hesitating. And all of a sudden, as I'm hesitating, my mom, who's 5'2", just blitzes past me and just jumps off the cliff and is like, ah! And I'm in seventh grade, so I'm like, no way. I'm not letting this happen. So I immediately just jump right after her. Okay? Here's what I want you all to think. If Drew can jump off the cliff, anybody can. There is nothing special about me. I'm just a super ordinary, weird, semi-goofy person who God is choosing to use for his glory. And I'm saying, would you with me in a new way, as there's so many unknowns, so many T's aren't crossed, so many I's aren't dotted, and God is calling us to live in faith, would you take your hands off your life in a fresh way and say, God, anywhere, anything, whatever you want to do in my life, yes, I am willing to do that. Now, as I was sharing this with our staff team, I loved what James Shelley, who leads our international ministry for Salt Company, said as we kind of went around the circle and asked each person kind of what God was stirring in their heart. And James said, well, my wife and I, we kind of made this vow like a year ago, and we said, God, we'll stay in Iowa City. We'll go to Wuhan, China, or we'll go anywhere else. Isn't that great? It's just like, whatever you want to do, we're down. Wouldn't it be awesome if all of us just caught that same spirit in this time of uncertainty in the life of our church? And I'm still going to be around for 9 months, so it's going to be a long goodbye. What if we just all stepped out in faith and said yes to whatever Jesus has for us? Here's three possible options. Number one, notice I placed it as number one. Leave everything and go to the Twin Cities. It's the number one thing you could do. I need help. All right. Number two, leave everything and go to Iowa City. In other words, with fresh eyes and with fresh perspective, commit yourself, recommit yourself to giving your time, talent, and treasure to Veritas Church. Contribute everything that you have. Go all in. Or number three, leave everything and go anywhere else. Right? God, our hands are off of our lives. That's what we're saying. And I'm inviting you to follow the Good Shepherd on this adventure with me. Guys, what I'd love to do just to end this time, if you would, just as an act of surrender, I've been, more than any other time in my life, I've just been falling on my knees lately, overwhelmed with God's goodness to me, overwhelmed with the task ahead, and I just feel like all I can do is pray. Would you guys just all with me just get on your knees just as an act of surrender to God, and let's just ask him together that he would lead us as a church. Why don't you take just a couple minutes just to pray and to ask God what he's stirring in your heart, and then I'll pray after that to close us. Jesus, our lives are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And so we're saying to you as a church family that you can do with us whatever you want. God, we want our hearts and our lives to be reoriented over and over again around what lasts forever, around your kingdom, around people, around telling people about you, Jesus, and around building your church in Iowa City and throughout this nation and throughout the world. Would you help us to release the things that are holding us, keeping us from selling everything that we have and chasing after what matters forever? God, would you do a tremendous work by your Spirit in our church to send us on mission for you? something we could have never dreamed of. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.